Lord, we thank you once again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to hear from you through your word. I ask that you would bless your word now, Lord. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. We need the light of your word, Lord, to illuminate the way, Lord. Teach us how to act, what to say, where to go, what to do, what not to say, how to live, how to give, how to love, how to forgive. Thank you for your word, Lord. Allow the words to jump off the page into our heart. Then let us apply it to our life daily. Bless your word, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. And ladies, you are meeting this Saturday at 9 a.m. as opposed to 10 a.m. Ladies are meeting this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Men, we might be meeting this Saturday. I'll send you a text to confirm that. Amen. I know it will not be at 8 a.m. I know that much. Men, we will not meet at 8. I'm leaning towards 10, but just expect a text. And I know that the youth and some of the other members are headed out to Lancaster, so we'll see how all that works. Did I say Matthew 15? All right, so as we celebrate communion this morning, with it being first Sunday, my goodness, is it really the first Sunday in April? We were just saying Happy New Year. We were just hanging out with our New Year's celebration, and now we are in April. Amen? So as it has been for the last few months, I'm just going to teach one message, tie it in with communion. We'll take communion at the end of service, and then we will dismiss. Amen? So just a couple of things to remember. You should be fasting each morning. You should be praying each morning. You should be studying the Proverbs. You should be studying 1 Corinthians 13 on love. So we know what the difference is between love and what's not love. We know how to forgive. We know how to love even when people aren't lovable. Amen. Amen. So we celebrate Communion Sunday. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He knew that we would have issues and decisions and marriage and death and divorce and all other types of situations. But he asked us to keep our life in biblical perspective. That's why I said, do this in remembrance of me. Knew there'd be wars and rumors of wars. He said, don't lose perspective. Don't ever forget that I died on the cross for you. Keep your life in biblical perspective. As I was just thinking about the resurrection, which we'll celebrate in a couple of weeks. How when Chuck Colson talked about the Watergate scandal, he said they all got together and said, this is the story we're going to stick to. He said that lasted for 2 weeks. And five men were initially arrested, 69 were indicted, and 48 were found guilty. After just 2 weeks, this is our story. We found out during the Rio Olympics how the guys tried to put together a story, and as soon as it got a little pressure, the truth came out. Here it is. The disciples said that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and they died with that story. And the truth is Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, rose on that third day. They died for that story. They didn't change the story. They died for it. And those of you, pray about it. It's in November. We will be going. I don't know if I'm able to go this year. I went in 2008, but the same trip following the footsteps of Jesus and Moses in Israel and Egypt. It'll change your life forever when you see all the physical evidence that's still there. Amen. So as I'm reading this, It's a time for me to examine my heart, and it's really, really important. So let's get into the word. Did I say Jesus, Matthew 15 and 21? Did I say we'd be studying Jesus this morning? Then Jesus went there, Matthew 15 and 21. Then Jesus went there and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried, underline, she cried unto him, which means she shouted, she kind of begged him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is in really bad shape, and she's possessed with a devil. It's pretty serious, isn't it? But before we get there, okay, Jesus had just had this conversations with the Pharisees and the scribes. They were talking about, they asked Jesus, why don't these guys wash their hands before they eat? So he's just had this long conversation with these guys about washing your hands before you eat. They asked him, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they're eating? Why don't they keep to the tradition? Jesus said, well, you don't keep to the tradition because you're supposed to honor your mother and father, but you don't. And the Pharisees, they added to the law. The Bible said, honor your mother and father. But then they had changed the law, and their tradition was, we'll take care of our mom and dad if we can. And whatever you all get from us, be happy that you get it. Amen. Why don't you go home and tell your mama that today, those of you whose parents are still alive. Whatever you get from me, mom or dad, you should be happy that you get it. And that was their law. So Jesus is saying, and so then look at, let's go back a little bit. Let's go do the prequel. Look at verse 8. And Jesus is, as I'm studying and preparing for this, is really ministering to me. It says, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Comes back to a heart issue. Underline the word heart. So Jesus is talking about the religious leaders. They spend all their time in the temple. They put on the show. These were the ones putting on the show, not the ones actually living for God, but putting on a show for God, and wanted to know, why don't these guys wash their hands? They were worried about clean hands, where Jesus was trying and more concerned with a clean heart. Okay, people worried about washing their hands, and y'all know me. Y'all know I have OCD. I'm always washing my hands. I'm not eating nothing without washing my hands. I go wash my hands while I'm eating. Okay. Yeah. Amen. I got it bad. But Jesus is saying right here, it's not about the hands. It's about the heart. And it's the same thing where someone would walk into church and people would try and look at what they're wearing. In some ministries, you can't wear makeup and you can't wear lipstick and you can't wear pants. Jesus doesn't care if you got on pants or if you got on a dress. Trust me, God doesn't care about that. God's concerned with your heart. And I know tradition says that, but you cannot judge somebody based upon what they wear. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them here. And ladies, if you want to wear a lipstick and you want to wear makeup, and men, if you want to wear a watch, that's okay. It's not a sin. Because that's all the surface stuff, where God is more concerned with the heart. Now, when you look at the word heart in the Greek, it's cardia, where we get cardiac from. A cardiologist, someone who studies the heart. But here's what it means in the Greek. And if you're taking notes, which I know a lot of you do, here we go. So the heart is your thoughts, it's your feelings, it's your mind, it's the seat of your physical and mental life, it's the center of your physical and mental life. It's your intelligence, it's your emotions, it's your sensibilities, it's your endeavors, it's your purpose, it's your affection, it's passion, desire, your appetites, it's your will and your character. So Jesus is saying in verse 8 that these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, But their emotions, sensibilities, endeavors, purpose, affection, passion, desire, appetite, will, intelligence, their thoughts, their feelings, their mind, and their mental is so far from me, it's not even funny. But in vain, verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Make a note, you can't serve God and you can't serve man at the same time. Either you're following the word of God or you're following what man says, but you can't. They conflict all the time. It's a constant conflict between what the culture is telling us to do and what God is telling us to do. Natalie, take us real quick to 1 Samuel 16, 6 and 7. So make a note that God doesn't see us the way that we see each other. Make a note, we've read it before, but it just deserves repeating. This is when they were looking to see who they were going to anoint as the next king. David and his seven brothers, I think it was seven of them, and the first brother comes up. It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Man, this dude looks good. Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Surely the way this dude looks, this is the one." That's what Samuel the prophet said. But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Don't look on his countenance. Don't look on what he's wearing or the height of his stature. Don't look at what he's wearing. Don't look at his jewelry. Don't look at his clothes. Don't look at his haircut. Don't look at none of that. Don't look at what she's wearing, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man look on the outward appearance, but God looks right on the heart." God just cuts to the chase. We can dress up. We can do all that. And as I was preparing this message, I really had to stop and pause and examine my heart. There's no way you can deliver a message like this. And as we take communion and remember what Christ did, there's no way I could give this message without examining my heart. Why do I really do this? Am I here? Do I just want to be seen? Is it a show? Do I really care about the people that God has entrusted me to shepherd? What are my motives? Why am I really doing this? Family, just pause and think about all the things you do, and you got to look deep. Why are you really doing it? Why do you really do what you do? I had to look really deep and say, what is this whole thing about? Because God sees right through it. God sees exactly why I'm doing it. The worst person you can lie to is yourself. I had to pause. Whoa. Do I really love God? Do I really love the people of God? What is my ulterior motive? What is the message behind the message behind the message behind the motive behind the intent behind the motive? And that's what God is asking us as we prepare to take communion. What is really going on with each and every one of us? And only you can answer that. But I just love God because he's not looking on, what we dress like. And you know, it's hard, man. It's hard to read people these days. It's hard to tell. And for our youth, young ladies, when that guy comes and he's looking good and he's looking nice and everything, and gosh, I know, Lord, this is the one you sent me. It's like, slow down. Ladies, slow down. Check it. It looks real good. It takes time to get to know someone. And men, you know, we get in trouble every time because we see something. We be like, oh, yeah, I know that's the one. Slow down. Big C, nothing but trouble every time. You already know. Not for you now, Big C. I mean, back like way back before you got married. And we're looking at stuff and it's so far from God, but we got to examine every time and everything that's going on. Don't rush in anything, family. Remember, people come into your life for two reasons, either to push you closer to God or pull you further away from God. That's the only two reasons somebody come into your life. They're going to do two things. They're going to push you closer to God or take you further away from God. It's no in between. There's no in between. So here's God talking about the heart. So let's go back to Matthew 15. So here's, and Natalie, roll with me on this, 15:11. So here's Jesus telling us, not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but that which comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. It's not what you eat. If your hands are dirty and you eat a burger, so what? Do your thing. That's not what defiles you. It's what comes out. Look at verse 14. It's talking about the Pharisees. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. All right. He said, they're so far from God, we can't even get into what they're doing. Family, make a note. You got to be concerned about yourself. We say you can fool a fool, you can con a con, but you cannot fool God none of the time. And if they're the blind leading the blind, they're both falling into a ditch. Don't concern yourself with them. Make sure you know what your motives and intentions are. Verse 17, don't you understand that whatsoever enter at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the drought? I don't know why Jesus had to get all graphic right there. But he said, basically that saying, whatever you eat is ejected into the toilet. Okay, that's what, when you look at the Greek, that's what it said. He said, that's not what defiles you, because whatever you eat is ejected. And actually the word was either toilet or sink. So hopefully, hopefully in your house it's the toilet and not the sink. Or anyway, yeah, I mean, that's what the Greek said. So we figure it would be the toilet. Maybe in the Hebrew culture, they used the sink or the toilet. I didn't dig that deep, but I know it goes into one of those. Now, hopefully in your house, it goes in the right one. Amen. Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from your heart, and they defile a person. What comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. That's why it's important that we examine our heart. Be careful what you say. It's hard to take it back once you say it. Amen. I didn't mean it, but the word says that was actually in your heart. That's why it came out. Because it's in you, that's why it came out of you. And say, well, I didn't really mean to say that. Well, you just revealed what was in your heart, because based on the word right here, it's what's in your heart that comes out of your mouth. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Blasphemy, all that stuff comes out of the heart. Why? Because it's in there. That's why we ask God. I'm not so concerned with cleaning my hands. I'm more concerned with God cleaning my heart. So he was trying to get to the Pharisees to see. You guys are worried about all this cleanliness stuff, but your hearts are jacked up. Look at verse 20. Look how he just sums up. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, man, I don't do nothing. I love the way Jesus went, man, come on. So concerned about washing your hands, get your heart clean. Get your heart clean with God. All right, then we get to verse 21. Then Jesus went there and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Make a note, when was the last time you cried out to God on behalf of your kids? Make a note of it. She shouted, she didn't shout at her kids. She shouted out to God on behalf of her kids. When was the last time you cried out to God on behalf of your life or your marriage, your parents, your church, your family members, your siblings, your brothers? And when was the last time? And remember, we have a culture clash here, right here, because it ain't no way that this woman who's a Gentile should have been talking to a Jewish rabbi or a Jewish teacher. Amen. So she's breaking tradition. So it's okay. God supersedes tradition and culture. God could care less about that. But make a note, she broke tradition right here. She was supposed to keep her mouth shut. She was not supposed to say anything to him because she's a Gentile and he's a Jew. They have no dealings. We talked about it last time when the lady was from Samaria. In our culture, it's different cultures that some people don't speak to each other. Brother Tim and I, when we grew up, it was this side of the street. You cross this side, it was one color. It was this side, it was another color. And hey, you cross at your own risk. But you knew that as the culture. You know exactly where to go and where not to go. And you don't say something to somebody that could get your butt in trouble or get you hurt really bad. She broke tradition. Family, we got to break tradition, especially when it comes to our kids. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? All right. It's the most delicate and deep relationship after your marital relationship. It's your relationship with your kids. And she has a daughter. How many have a daughter? Man, I tell you, boy. They're really nice. It's really special. I love my girls. Amen. You let somebody mess with your daughter, especially as a man, boy, it's problems. As we say in Espanol, mucho problemos. It's mucho problemos. You don't mess with my mija. Don't mess with my mija, I'm telling you. And this lady felt the same way. She said that my daughter needs some help. Verse 23, but Jesus didn't even answer her. She ignored her. But God hears you. So make a note. God hears you whether he answers you or not. Sometimes it's not now, it's wait, it's no, but God hears you. So he didn't ignore her, although he didn't answer. He did ignore, but he didn't because he heard her. So ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're crying out to God whether you think he hears you or not. God does hear you. She's crying out, God's listening. And we're going to see in just a minute, the disciples are hating on her. So you got somebody crying out, you got somebody hating, but God is listening. So even if the haters are hating on you, keep crying out to God because he's listening. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, man, get her out of here, man. She's bothering us. Here's the disciples saying, this lady is an interruption. God, don't you see this lady crying out? She's an interruption. Get rid of her. Make a note, you and I are not an interruption to God. Never. You're never a problem to God. Even if you don't think God is listening, you're not a problem to God. Even if you don't think God is there, cry out to God. I don't care what the haters are saying. Well, look how sick you are. Look how this is. And you still praying. You still going to church. You still doing that. Don't listen to the haters. Remember, Jesus already just broke down the whole heart situation. But you keep crying out. You keep begging God. They're begging God that he would send her away. And she's begging God that he would heal her daughter. So you got crying, you got begging, and you got listening. All happening at the same time. Never an interruption of God. Somebody right now, you need to keep petitioning God for your answer. Somebody's ready to give up, but God is saying, don't give up. Keep begging God, even if you don't think he's listening. She's coming. She's asking God to have mercy on her. She's not talking about based on merit. Some people think that they're entitled to for God to do something for them. She's not dependent on merit. She's dependent on mercy. We're not entitled to anything from God. We really don't want God to give us what we deserve. We approach God, we're crying out, and we're asking for God's mercy. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's saying I'm starting first with the children of Israel. And she cried. She said, that's true, Lord. That's true. Verse 27. She cried. Verse 25. Then came she and worshiped. Okay. She worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. Somebody underline that right there. One of the most profound prayers you can ever pray. You don't need a lot of words. You don't need to be fancy. You don't need to be on your knees. You don't need to be in a closet somewhere. You don't need to be in a church. You just need to say, Lord, help me. She worshiped him. Make a note, worship is more than music, because there was no music playing. It wasn't nobody trying to lead you into worship. It wasn't anybody saying, lift your hands. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. We can go home on that one right there. Whatever you're going through, you just come worshiping. You've already cried out. You've been begging. You've been praying. And then you get to the point. I don't have a lot of fancy words. But God, I'm going to worship you in the midst of everything I'm going through. And I'm going to ask you to help me. That is probably the most powerful scripture in this. In this whole course of scriptures. Jesus answered verse 26 and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Saying, well, what I have for the children of Israel, it's not cool if I give it to the Gentiles. And that's when she said, okay, Lord, that might be true. Okay, that's true. But everybody who has a dog knows that the dog eats. Dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Amen. Anybody got a dog? Because I don't. You feed the dog from the table sometime? Right? Sister Tyra? You do? And didn't they say you're not supposed to do that?
I know, but I don't believe it.
All right. Anybody else feed the dog from the table? Oh, sister. Okay, Carrie. I'm making notes. All right. Taking notes. Chicken steak, that dog is like, this is so cool.
Right.
Say that. Right, no, once he gets used to that chicken and steak, he don't want the dog food. There you go. That's why they say don't do it, because they want you to buy that dog food. Get a dog of leftovers, right? She said, true, O Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said, man, woman, you are persistent. Great is your faith. Underline that. Faith. We already defined faith as trust, commitment, surrender, and submission. Trust, commitment, surrender, and submission. It's not faith where you just believe, because we know that believing in God isn't enough. We know that the devils believe in God because they know God exists. But the faith, belief, commitment, surrender, trust, submission. Say, be it unto thee even as you have asked. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A lot going on. Then verse 29. Jesus departed from there and came unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind, dumb and maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. They brought them to Jesus' feet and he healed them. Verse 31, insomuch that the multitude wondered, they marveled when they saw the mute speak, the crippled walk, the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorify the God of Israel. They celebrated Jesus. Make a note that they celebrated Jesus. And so as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, and as we lead up to the resurrection, Resurrection Sunday, remember the thing that you and I have to come to grips with: do we really believe what we read? Do we really believe? Because if Jesus has done all this, then what are we worried? Why do we worry about anything? If this is the same Jesus that fills us with the Holy Spirit now, then why are we concerned about anything except for living for him and committing our life to him? As we prepare to take communion, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember all the things that Jesus has done. And then as you evaluate your life, then ask yourself, do I really believe? And if I do, what am I worried about? Natalie, put up 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. Brother Clarence, Brother Anthony, if you guys will come on up. As you prepare your heart for communion, Jesus said, how can we ask God to forgive us if we can't forgive those that wronged us? And we got to dig deep as we prepare for communion. Many churches on Good Friday, they do the last seven sayings of Christ. The first thing he said out of the seven was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew that. I believe that was the first thing he said, because he knows that's the thing we're going to have the biggest issue with, is forgiving people that wronged us. And if Jesus could go ahead, brothers, you can pass it out. And if Jesus could go through what he went through and still forgive, then whatever you've gone through with someone, you can forgive them too. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The same night in which he was betrayed, the same night in which he was stabbed in the back, he took bread and he gave thanks. Thank you, Lord, for this betrayal, because it's leading me to the cross. And even the betrayals in our life, family, they've kind of pushed us to the cross. They pushed us into the presence of God when we allow them to. It's made us who we are today. Everything that's happened in our life has happened to make us who we are. And who you are, you should give thanks to God for who he's made you to be. Even when Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. He said, man, I forgive you guys. You guys threw me in a ditch. You sold me into slavery. I was in prison for 13 years. But God used all that to make me who I am today. So instead of being upset with you guys, I forgive you guys, because God has used everything to make you and I who we are today. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, you got to let some people go. You have to. Just like God forgave us, we have to forgive them. Next verse. And when he had given thanks, remember he was just betrayed. Now when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Elevate that which represents his body. Remember, he paid a physical price so that we could be free. We were in the Holy Land and we went over to the empty tomb and we went to the Via de la Rosa, the road of the cross. And all that stuff is still there. And you start thinking, man, this really did happen. And then you understand that, wow, Christ did this for me so I could be saved, so I could be rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. In the book of Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Something always had to die in order for sins to be forgiven. Something had to die for you and I, for our sins to be forgiven. Said it before, I say it again. Next time someone asks you, they don't believe in God or they don't, just ask them the simple question, what do you do for the atonement of your sins? What's covering your sins? I talk to men a lot. If a man could ever tell me, well, you know, I don't sin, I'm good. I know that's a dangerous man. I get away from him. Family, we got to have some type of atonement for our sins. It's the only religion which we know to be a relationship. None other gives you atonement for your sins but the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on that cross. And when he resurrected on that third day, it turned the world upside down to the point that we're standing in a church 2017 years later, still remembering and still celebrating what he did for us. Thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross, shedding your blood for our sins, that we could be free. We ask that you forgive us as we forgive others, Lord, that have wronged us. Forgive us for wronging you and sending you to the cross to die for us. We release those that have hurt us, betrayed us, stabbed us in the back, stabbed us in the front, kicked us to the curb. We thank you, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. Pray for their salvation. Pray for a change in their heart. And Lord, use us to be a light. Use us as a changed life to reflect your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in and drink that which represents his blood. Family, stand to your feet. Thank you, brothers. We had planned on having a prayer for Pastor Manny and Sis Lenore. They started their ministry last Sunday. Amen. So they're trying to make it over here, and we're going to pray. We had a little reception planned for them, but I guess they got caught up. They texted and said they're not going to be able to make it. I know some of you did bring some gifts for them. We do have refreshments in the conference room, so bring your gifts. We have refreshments, and we don't want them to go to waste. So, and we're going to have to celebrate without them, okay? Okay. So we don't want that food to go to waste. So everybody's invited to the conference room. Come grab something. Our visitors are invited as well. And then bring your gifts for Pastor Manny and Lenore. We'll make sure that they get them. Amen. Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug somebody and you are dismissed.